So a lot of people are always asking me, how can I missing my Jewish life and my work, my job? And I'm always saying that we have perhaps more laws to accomplish inside your office than what you can accomplish in the synagogue. You have a lot of laws, Ben Adam Lachavero, that many, many people are forgetting all the time. Well, for many people, business is business. We can do what we want in the business world. Okay, I will not take something from someone else, but in the end, it's not so complicated to be honest and ethic. But in the end, where the situation is complicated, sometimes I can do some crash bad things. And I hope that we all know that it's not true, and that we, as I say, we have a lot of laws, Ben Adam Lachavero, that we need to understand and we need to learn all the time to be sure that we are not doing mistakes. I had a chance to discover the businessalacha.com website a few years ago, and my friend Etan Galam met Rav Chaim Kohn, I think, last year, and during this period we decided to create a special event for VCs, investors, lawyers, and all people around the high-tech industry to understand all the different challenges we can have in our business. Okay, so we'll say that after this session, we'll understand that perhaps every day, every week, we will always have some challenges to face, and we will need to answer to this question using the Jewish law. So I'm proud to have Rav Chaim Kohn, who came especially from New York, from New York City, to speak about all of this subject. Thank you very much, Rav Chaim.
Okay. So thank you, Jeremy, for your introduction. If one wants to see an example of what we call Hashgacha Pratit, or divine providence, so that's exactly as it was mentioned earlier. It's certainly not a coincidence that Eitan contacted us and Jeremy. We are here to help, you know, and to find solutions for issues. I just want to make one remark before we start actual discussion. First of all, I see here quite a diverse audience. From the short time that I spoke to some people here, I understand that we have here some people who are quite learned, who are even investing themselves in finding solutions for issues in halacha. It was very nice to hear about it, understand the challenges. And then others, you know, who might be very well versed in what they are doing in life, but as far as halacha is concerned, as Jeremy pointed out, you know, it's a different world, so to say. So in this way, I'm almost like Hillel, who had to face the girl who wanted to know kol ha'terah kulan rag lachas, to know all the terror in short, you know. So he had a solution, after the racha kamocha, but I don't know if this applies here. I certainly have all of you, but I don't think that this is the solution for the issues. Okay, that's number one. Number two, when people call us up with all kinds of questions in halacha, so then they say, you know, we have a problem. We have a problem here with ribit, with loss of interest. We have a problem with Shabbos. The loss of Shabbos is in conflict with what we are doing. There are other issues too, but I'm just mentioning those two because Shabbat and Ribbit, because those were the topics which Jeremy chose that we should speak about, and many other areas to be discussed. But always my reaction is, it's not that we have a problem with Shabbos, we don't have a problem with Ribbit. Baruch Hashem, we have Shabbat. Baruch Hashem, that we have halachas that tell us how to behave in finances. It's only that the structure of life as we have it today, which is part of the Galut, which is part of the exile we are in, is not exactly as the Torah envisioned it. This is specifically true when we come into the Lachot of Ribit. We are going to see it's very fascinating. If one would want to study comparative law, it's an excellent paradigm for understanding how Torah viewed the economic system versus how it's actually applied. But I believe it. I mean, I'm not discussing comparative law, just to explain to you that what we need to do here is to find some reconciliation between different structures and to find solutions for that. If you go to here to, if you have here agenda, if you don't mind, before this, general concepts. Okay. General concepts, right? General concepts is okay. Maybe go before that, the one before that, if you don't mind. You see, you have here three agendas. Could you see it, or am I disturbing it? Okay. You have general concepts, Shabbat and Yom Tov, and Ribbit, interest. When we say general concept, it seems to be that we are suggesting that there are concepts where both the halachas of Shabbat and the halachas of interest, of Ribbit, are similar. We are going to see that it's not so. In other words, there are certain concepts which have the same name, and, you know, maybe to paraphrase from somewhere else, there are different ladies in different gowns. It's not so. You know, maybe it's not very appropriate to say so, but that's what it is. They have the same name, but they're completely different. And we're going to discuss it in a moment. So therefore, yes, it's general concepts, but we will have to understand that Shabbat, Yom Tov, and Ribbit are two different issues, completely different issues. Okay, so therefore we are going to the next one. Now, I just want to tell you also, Jeremy, being a very energetic person, Bli Ayin Hara, put a lot together here, you know. So many questions which would need to be addressed in detail in much more what I'm able to accomplish here. So I was faced with a challenge, either to pick one or two and discuss it more in depth, or to speak about matters, as you call it, the tip of the iceberg. So I chose the second one, being that I just would like to give you a general understanding of the issues to be discussed, which hopefully will bring to another discussion about it and to find solutions. And every person and every business is different as well. Okay, so sad, if you don't mind to move on. Ah, yeah, very good. Yeah. Status of ownership. So he jumped. Jeremy's jumped. It's okay, and I let him jump. Do we have the same issue as minority shareholders, majority, board members? He missed just one term called corporation. Corporation, it's a given. Corporation is a given, right? So everyone understands what you mean. Business is corporation. The question would be, how does Allah view corporations? What is corporation? It's very interesting, if you just want to illustrate to you how the human mind works.
Isn't that true? Make a difference between corporation and partnership?
I didn't say anything yet.
Okay.
I didn't say anything yet. If I may just ask, if people have a little bit patience with me.
Oh, sorry.
You know, yeah, my wife tells me all the time, you don't have patience with me. She's right, you know, but here, it's like, all right. So, but you know, your comment was excellent. I will tell you why. Because you're right. We could term it maybe partnership and cooperation. We could call it in this way. But I will explain to you what I mean by that. It's an excellent question, and maybe this would be used as an introduction that we are discussing. People don't like to live in abstract. You want to see anything which is tangible, clear. Interesting enough, I don't have to tell you that corporations as such are completely abstract instruments. A corporation as such is a legal entity, and it hires people. It distributes shares to people, and so on and so forth. But people look at it as a real existence. In Halacha, it doesn't exist. In Halacha, we only discuss in Halacha anything which is, so to say, quote-unquote, tangible, real. We don't have a fictitious entity, a fictitious institution called corporation. What we could do is that we apply certain restrictions which come by default and apply them in Halacha as well. Now, this concept to say that whatever we call corporation is applied in Halacha with the restrictions that are mentioned in this context is really something to be discussed in real Choshen Mishpat. Not so much when we talk about Hilchot Shabbat or Ribbit. But being that we are not discussing Choshen Mishpat as such, I just need to mention to you, as this gentleman pointed out correctly, that do we talk about corporation or partnership? their answer is, we talk about partnership. This cooperation is a partnership. Halachically speaking, cooperation does not have a status in its own right. Although, again, it's been viewed usually as an existent entity, although having no name, it's what we understand is not so. What we understand in halacha is cooperation is simply a partnership, but it will apply certain laws that are accepted to limit either responsibilities or other virtues of law to what halacha will say. And here we have here a very good example of comparative law, you know. But you need to remember that. We're talking about partnership. So your question is very well taken, and I hope I give you an answer. Now, when we talk about Shabbat, when we talk about Ribbit, as we said, the halachas are completely different, and I cannot mix both. Being that Jeremy wanted me to speak first about Shabbat, I will speak about Shabbat. When it says, do we have the same issues as minority shareholders, majority board members? Well, before that, I will have to discuss with you or introduce to you principles of halachot that have to do with doing business on Shabbat. In other words, you can't really do business on Shabbat. You shouldn't do that. And we're not going into details of it, but just explain to you the engagement that you would have with people doing business on Shabbat. For this, let me take a step before. We have three different categories how people could relate to others in terms of business. They could be partners, shutafim, partners. A partner in halacha is an alter ego. You know what an alter ego means? I presume that you ever know. It's
no,
an alter ego.
No.
Alter ego means a person, he is like you. Ruven is Shimon, Shimon is Ruven. That's alter ego. Alter, right? Ego. Right? How about these two Latin terms? It's even stronger than an agent, stronger than a shlichut. It's an alter ego. Which means that in principle, a shutafut that you have in Shabbat with a Gentile, with a non-Jew, with a goy, in this particular situation should be prohibited. But usually people would understand it's a way how to permit it, in principle should be prohibited because he's the alter ego. We're going to see that we are able to create an instrument, a way how to separate between those two. But the first thing we need to remember that shutafut is an alter ego, something else. There's another kind of shutafut, another kind of partnership, and this is not partnership in the assets as such, but partnership in profits. In halacha, it's called arisut, profit partnership. This model of profit partnership is, halachically speaking, a very preferable model, and it could help us out a lot in solutions in business of Shabbat. Then we have people who are employees. Now, there are two kinds of employees. We have the classic employee, we have a classic employee, classic employee means that a person is hired, what we call in America, for a 9-to-5 job. In other words, you could determine the person, you could force him to work at particular hours. He's an avid, he's a slave. No, he's really a slave, because you could tell him what to do. He is not his own master. That's a poel. That's a poel.
Sakhir.
Yeah. More or less. But if you don't mind, if I use my own terms.
Okay.
And the reason for this is because I would make it clear differentiations between the categories that we're talking about. So I call him Poel. In Halakha also he's called a Poel. But then we have something else. A contractor. In Halakha we call him Kablan. A contractor. A contractor is not working for the employer. He's his own employee. He's simultaneously an employer and employee together. His own master. Again, which makes a major difference in halacha. So we have the following. We have here the shutaf, the alter ego. We have the aris, profit sharing. We have the kablan. We have the poel, the person who is working for somebody else. And then finally, we have the kablan, the contractor. Those are the different categories we are talking about. Really three but the last one is two parts of it. Okay. Now,
about Kaling.
What do you say?
Kaling.
Kaling? We're not talking about Kaling. We don't partner with Kaling.
You don't partner, but if you Kaling create profit for you, is a question that's sweet as Kaling.
We are jumping here. We are jumping here.
Okay.
Yes, we are jumping here. I appreciate where you want to get to, but we are not there yet. Okay. Now, status of ownership. You see, what we understand from this questionnaire is that we're talking about Shutafut. We're talking about partnership. Status of ownership. Do we have the same issues? Minority shareholders, majority board members. We do understand also here that we're talking about a partnership with non-Jews. Because otherwise, what's the issue? So those are the givens. So we're talking about partnership, we're talking about a corporation.
Perhaps
and what?
We need also to talk about if there are Jewish
and so we're going to discuss everything.
Observant.
Okay, yeah.
We
don't want
we
to jump.
Unfortunately, we have this
Jeremy, problem. We don't want to jump the gun high either. So let's go step by step.
Yeah, so let's begin.
We have to go step by step, otherwise we're not going to anywhere. So we're talking about corporations, and we explained that corporations is a real partnership in Aloha. We discussed that Shutafut means in principle an alter ego of somebody else, which would not make it easier if you have a non-Jewish partner. But we are going to find a solution for that. How are we going to find a solution? The answer is because we are going to split the partnership as far as Shabbat is concerned. This is the classic model in Aloha, which means that we are saying that as far as Shabbat is concerned, at the outset, please remember that one, at the outset, once the partnership is established, and you could call it cooperation, I don't care how you call it. At that time, what we are saying is that we, Jewish partners, are not in any way in fashion joining whatever the partnership is doing on Shabbat. Beautiful. Could do that. There are certain issues here. The first issue would be here, if there's income on Shabbat, how do we look at it? So in a classic case of once upon a time, if the income could have been calculated exactly on Shabbat and the rest of the week, so we're going to say the income of Shabbat goes to the non-Jew because he's running the business on Shabbat. And the rest goes to the Jew, and then in the rest of the week, whatever it should be. Today it doesn't work like this. I don't have to tell you. Businesses don't work like this. You don't really can calculate. You don't want to split it this way. It doesn't work this way. There's another issue too, because if you're talking about any kind of corporation, you have employees. So once you have employees, so then even if you are going to say that we are splitting the partnership, but the employees know one thing, and this is that the corporation pays their paycheck. And as far as this is concerned, they are working for the Jew as well. Although you might nominally say that we split it, it doesn't matter. Because factually what happens is the payroll gives away the rest of the story, which means that we have here those employees to be employees of the Jewish web. Now, there are ways how to handle with that. I don't believe that time-wise I have enough time to discuss all of this. Absolutely not. But I just want to explain to you what the issue is. And we have this on a daily basis almost. The people ask us about it. People even learn it. But when it comes to this, they're blank. And for some reason, whatever there should be. I mean, it's not for whatever it should be. If I just might for half a second mention to you the following between the great poskim of the previous generations of the birth of Shaul Natanzan. So he writes to somebody who was a very learned person. He writes to him, do me a favor, when it comes to the halachot of Shabbat and business, keep yourself out of it, because it is the most difficult simanim in Shulchan Aruch in Or HaChaim. It's true. And although most of today's world, when the complexity how business is working, it's much more difficult. You know, so we are talking here about, when we talk about ownership here, you're already running into major issues here. And there are solutions for that. I'm not saying otherwise. In America, here I understand people are mostly involved in IT. In America, major businesses are involved in either nursing homes, real estate businesses, and so on and so forth. Over there, they have their own issues about it, you know, but I don't want to discuss it all together because we're talking about IT. So if you're talking about IT, or if you're talking about investors, like I understand maybe many of you are, right? you're talking about investments, so then the issues are different. And therefore, as Jeremy pointed out here, those are his issues. Do you have the same issues as minority shareholders and so on and so forth? Okay, so therefore, I will have to come here now and explain to you a whole issue which is being discussed in the current Paskim. And this is, how do we look at shares? How do we look at shares? If you look into the different responda and the tshuvot written about it, sometimes a person would almost have, and you forgive me the term, that not all of them grasp clearly how it's working, how it's to be understood. I will tell you, and so to say, I have two choices here. One choice is that I could be a parrot. A parrot is a
tuki.
Papagai. Tuki, right. And say, oh, whatever says, whatever body says. The other choice that I have is how I found my own way how to explain it and what I think is the correct way to deal with it. So I'm speaking for myself, so to say. Right. But hopefully, Bezrat Hashem, I hope that we are saying the right thing. Okay, so now, there are two different kinds of companies, and it's mentioned here. You have companies where you become effectively, by being a shareholder, involved in the assets of the company. Certainly, if you provide seed money, certainly, if you want to know how things are working out, you are actively involved in this whole issue, then there's no question about it. We're talking here about a real partnership. And you could call it as you wish. You could call it a corporation. You could give it any name you wish. I don't care. Which means that if you have employees, and even employees are not Jews, you are responsible for them. And therefore, this will need solutions. Could I give the solutions? Yes, but I cannot give the solutions here. I can just tell you the issues. If you're talking somebody else, about something else, if you're talking about buying stocks, right, like stocks which I do not own. So I don't gamble the market, as you say in America. So, but stocks, regular stocks. Well, that's a different story, and I'll be telling you briefly why I do believe that buying regular stocks on the market is not really an issue, simply because, as you say, as we call it in America, the market is a life on its own. In other words, it's not really reflecting on the assets. It's reflecting how the market is dealing with those issues, with those issues that I'm calling now the stocks, securities, whatever it should be. Once it does not reflect on the assets as such, so therefore you are not really an owner. And therefore you are not considered an employer of the employees, regardless what the share should say in the language of it. What really counts is not what the language said, but what is the reality in life or how the market would understand it to be. So therefore, regular stocks, as far as I'm concerned, is not a problem altogether, as far as Shabbat is concerned. Investing, seed money, and so on and so forth, that's a different story. Wherever you are involved in that, that's not a problem. Is a person permitted to be a CEO? CEO, you could be a CEO, as long as you don't own stocks in the company, that's not a problem either. Because as a CEO, you are employed by the stockholders. This is mostly not the case so much, because people simultaneously at the time that they are running the company have an interest in either having effectively stocks in the company, at least having options. And options is some sort of ownership that's debatable. But certainly people have stocks and so on and so forth. But there are solutions for that. I cannot tell you that everything could be solved, but for the most part it could be solved. I will tell you that's an innovative way how to deal with that. We are lately had such a situation too. Here you could see how cooperation, for example, could provide us a solution. Namely, that if according to the laws, according to the setup of the company, the CEO himself, who is not a Jew, owns stocks. And consequently, he is permitted, according to the setup of the company, he is permitted to be in charge of the employees on particular days, in this or other way, so it could be structured in a fashion that is halachically permissible. Again, time does not permit me to tell you how to work it out, but this is one of the beauties, if I may call it this way, of cooperation, where the cooperation serves us how to deal with finding a solution for this situation. Now, here, any questions? No, okay. Now, here, responsibility for owners, investors. I think we just discussed it now. I'm just telling you the problem. Yes. Later. Okay. Now, it's as you see here, responsibilities of lawyers and advisors. This is an issue on its own. Jeremy, thank you very much, because now I know that you think I'm a genius. But I have to disappoint you. I'm not a genius. Okay. So, he wants really to dissolve all these problems. As far as lawyers are concerned, that's the famous issue of Lifnei Iver and Merseya Ovrei Avira. This is really what they have to do in, as far as this is concerned, in terms of, what should I tell you? I mean, I don't want to enter the sugya of Lifnei Iver and Merseya.
We have a lot of lawyers here and accountants, so perhaps give us them tips on how they need to...
Well, as probably you know, I don't have to tell you, in Lifnei Iver there's a major principle. Most poskim, short of the Rambam, probably according to the Radbaz, most poskim hold, which is the principle of treba de nahar, which means that you are only responsible for lifnei iver litut mikshol in case that the person would not have a choice to go somewhere else. Once he has the choice to do somewhere else, he chooses you, so then lifnei iver does not apply. But there's another issue which is called Merseya Ovrei Avira, which is beyond that. In other words, even if you are saying that the person is not over lifnei iver, but you're not permitted to help a person do an avira. Here again, there's a machloket haposkim, famous machloket, what happens in a situation when the person the person that you're dealing with is not a shomer Torah mitzvot, right? So if in such a situation, Merseya Ovrei Avira applies. I want to tell you that this discussion, in my humble opinion, has absolutely no relevance here. And I'll tell you why, because most people, right, today, unfortunately, are not Shomer Shabbat, not because they don't believe in it, because they don't know it, right? And it's highly debatable in such a situation if Messiah would not apply. Highly debatable, right? So therefore, what's the way to do it? There are maybe solutions for that. I'm not saying there are not, right? But certainly, a direct involvement in this kind of business should be avoided. But yes, whatever you could assign to somebody else to do it should be done. That's all I could tell you. So, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry. You invited me, did you?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But I'm not telling you should leave your job. I'm not saying that. Not at all. Right? But I'm explaining to you the issue. Yes.
Would you mind giving an example of
Well, if you have, very simply, in concept, you will have it in Rebbit all the time, right? But we're going to discuss Rebbit very soon, but I will tell you, as far as Shabbat is concerned, if you have a business that is active on Shabbat, you have an Israeli company, an Israeli startup company that is working on Shabbat, where everybody's working on Shabbat. You have, I'm not talking even about non-Jews, you're talking about Jewish people working on Shabbat. So, and you're having here, you're establishing the contract, and you're writing the contract, and so on and so forth, and you're helping out in this whole stuff. So here you have it.
Here you have it. Can't figure out the difference.
Well, you could maybe argue that somebody else could do it. Somebody else could do it is not an excuse, unless you're saying he's not a Shomer Shabbat anyways, and therefore he's a Halacha from Mumar, and Halacha from Mumar, according to some poskim, Messiah doesn't apply. So, but I guess many people love the Rambam. The Rambam says it doesn't matter. So I don't know. It's not simple. It's not simple. Not at all simple. I'm not saying it's simple. You know, what should I do? I cannot tell you something.
So what do you recommend to accountants, lawyers, to follow this? So here in Israel, as you said, you have a lot of companies working on Shabbat or on Yom Tov and Chol HaMoed, or I don't know. Each case is different.
Chol HaMoed and Yom Tov Sheni, Monsieur Berbi, doesn't concern me so much.
Okay.
It's Shabbat. Shabbat per se.
Okay, let's say Shabbat. And,
what
so
could I tell you?
If you are an accountant and you're a lawyer, do you have to contact a Rav to find a solution?
Yes, you have to contact.
Or can you say that you don't have any problem? And,
let me put it this way. You know, I will give you a comparable situation. Lo'alinu lo'alechem, if a person is not well, he's sick. So you go to a doctor, you know. So I presume that a good doctor does not look at a person like another case, you know, who is similar to the previous case. And so therefore, you give him the same solution like the previous person. Everybody is in a different situation. Everybody is in a different context and so on and so forth. And yes, then the Rav has to have enough business acumen and understanding to go into the details of the situation and give him the right approach how to deal with that, you know, on a personal level, whatever it should be. But there's an issue. It's not something you could avoid. It's an issue for all practical purposes, you know. Now, to hear the last one here, corporate structure and bankruptcy, Dina Mokhushadina. Now, one thing. Anybody, if you learn in Kabbalah? No, Baruch Hashem. So in Kabbalah, there's also a concept called Dina Mokhushadina. It has no connection to here. Dina Mokhushadina is one of the most misunderstood principles in Halacha. It is true that the structure of the law of the land is important for us, but it does not in any vain fashion substitute halacha or push away halacha. We could apply it in situations where we understand that Din Machus establishes certain norms for people behave, which is called Minagam Dina, so then Din Machus Dina applies. Not only this, we could say that the structure of the business understood in the interaction between people goes along. Bankruptcy. That's exactly what it's all about. In other words, if bankruptcy laws say that business done without as a corporation would permit to file for bankruptcy and was no fraud involved, yes, and halacha certainly it would recognize it, no question about it, you know. Is personal bankruptcy accepted in halacha? That's a major issue between current poskim. Moshe Feinstein said that under certain circumstances you could permit it, but it, again, it's debatable, so, you know, whatever. It's a sugya on its own. It's not really a matter to be discussed in its own right. But on a general note, as far as Shabbat is concerned, it certainly has absolutely no relevance. You know, it has no relevance. Dina Machus Adina has absolutely no relevance as far as Shabbat is concerned. It could be sometimes in Ribit, but certainly not in Shabbat. There's nothing to talk about. Okay, Shabbat, we don't have issues. Let's go to the next one. So, the first one was already discussed. Do we have the submission of the minority shareholders, majority, board members? We just discussed it. Now, what means work on Shabbat and Yom Tov? In the introduction that I gave you earlier, so here, that's exactly what it's all about. You took the easy ones. In the IT industry, you just need to reply to an email at work. If some Jewish employees are replying to email on Shabbos, are we considering this company's work on Shabbos? You know, we here are in Eretz Israel, right? So therefore, we're talking about Jewish people responding to emails. You have all over the place. You have not only here. You have all over the place. You have Gentiles going. Is he permitted to do that? Never mind the Yid, right? Never mind the Jewish person. Is he permitted to do that? So I told you earlier, an employee is an employee. Amir Lakum. It's more than Amir Lakum. If I may, thank you very much for this question. You're very good. You helped me out.
Sorry.
You should not. Don't be sorry at all. I will share with you all my income from tonight. So, which is zero, split in two. So. But it's very good. I really appreciate it. Yeah. You're absolutely on the mark. Okay. Nicola warned me that I should not make jokes because French people do not send jokes. I don't know if this was a joke or not. I have no idea.
I think the victim of too many of the jokes. That's why you want to share the thing.
It's okay. Okay. So, having a non-Jewish person working for Yom Shabbat, Poel, he calls Amir Al Yakum, without telling you going to do a malacha. I just want to tell you that the Apostle who hold this Adoraita. It's not a regular shoes, not a regular Rabbanan, it's Adoraita, according to some Apostle. Not everybody holds like this, but the Apostle of the Primogodim, one third, it's so simple at all.
First, I can precise the question.
Yes.
We are investors, okay? Let's say we want to invest in a company. And this company, you have observant Jewish people and non-observant Jewish people.
Observant.
So, in the end, some people will, as their own, because they want to do that, will begin to reply to all their emails during Shabbat.
Right.
Okay? You will never force them, because it's another subject. You're not forcing them. But they want to work on Shabbat, because this is the day where they can answer to all their emails, etc.
They have nothing else to do. Let's not deviate from what we're discussing. We are under pressure of time. Rabotai, 1 second. have a response to that. In your situation, when it's clearly not demanded from anybody to work on Shabbat, so then in principle you don't have a responsibility on what they are doing. If they know clearly that you don't want them to work on Shabbat, so then the fact that they are working on Shabbat is not really your issue. The question would be a different one. Are you nehene mimelechet Shabbat? There's another kind of
question. Are we?
Nehene mimelechet Shabbat. In other words, you profit from the Shabbat.
Yes.
Well, the answer is no. The answer in your situation, that would be the easiest of all questions. In this particular case, the issue, the prohibition, to benefit from Melechet Shabbat wouldn't apply. And I don't want to get into the details of it. Again, we're talking about the tip of the iceberg, right? But no, Nene. But yes, it has to be clearly detailed. It has to be clearly told to those people we do not want them to work on Shabbat. So if they say, okay, whatever they did.
We're investing in an Israeli company,
right,
owned by non-observant people. Right. The company is closed on Shabbat, closed on one top, and because in Israel, this is standard.
Right. And they are doing
that. But so
you cannot stop them.
As a shareholder, we are not able to say to our employees, we don't want you to work on Shabbat.
Why? Not true. No, I meant, I argued it.
It's
not true.
Law.
Absolutely not.
There's a law.
I don't know. I don't know if
hold on. One second. Any company, as long as it does not discriminate, right? In America, we have very strong discrimination laws, but it would be a tremendous surprise to me that you are prohibited to tell a person not to work on Shabbat.
Not prohibited.
No, minority.
Well, one second. If you tell them, we don't want you to work on Shabbat.
We are minority shareholders. Observant people are minority shareholders.
So then you have an
issue. The CEO
issue.
Is not observant.
So then you're, one second. So then your issue is not with the people who respond on the email. Your issue is to be a shutaf with another Jew who is not observant and consequently running the company on Shabbat like on a weekday. That's your issue.
No, he's not running the company on Shabbat. He's letting his people to do what they want.
So
and he's never telling them.
You have a responsibility. You have a responsibility. If you want to invest such in a company, right, you have to tell them, look, we are willing to invest and so on and so forth, but you have to understand, part of the balance has to be that there's absolutely no obligation on people to work on Shabbat. It's the least that you have to tell them. There's no obligation on people to work on Shabbat, at least this.
And we have to force the CEO to tell that
to tell them that part of the partnership is that there's
saying.
No...
What?
There is no obligation.
Very good. May I...
That's my question.
One second.
They're not subject to the regular Israeli law because they have a special position, and therefore they might be required, or the position might require them to work on non-standard hours, non-standard days, which means not only Friday and not only until Pesach Shabbat.
If they work in IT, they have to work.
They have to work. For Pekle
Prebbit, if they have to fix the system, they have to work in Shabbat.
Okay, so then, Rakriga, very good point. Here in this particular case, you will have to find solutions in within the company that should not require you to work in IT or technical solutions, which you hinted to earlier, right?
I have a solution.
Okay, very good. Fine. Very good. I'm not saying that we shouldn't seek for solutions. To the contrary, we should seek for solutions, right? And particularly in the IT industry, when you are faced with a situation when you do not provide service to your customers on Shabbat, you might collapse. But you know, but I can tell you something. I will tell you the following. I will tell you an anecdote, which take again a minute and a half. I'm involved in America with one of the most prominent real estate companies. And they had the issue of the Shabbat issue, not issue. They need to look for certain solutions. They have one of the ways we do it, and I'm not going to go into the details, is a gentle employee who became a profit sharing partner. Became profit sharing partner. How it works, it's not important. As a profit sharing partner, he becomes, to say in short, he became the employer of all the employees, at least for Shabbat. Okay. So I told this fellow, he's an intelligent fellow, very intelligent, and a gentleman, he is a religious person as well. He's a Catholic, but he's a religious person. I told him, and I just will use his initial first name, P. I told P, you know, every person comes in this world for a purpose. Do you believe that? He says, absolutely. So he told him, you know, we Jews, our purpose is to keep the Sabbath. Your purpose is to help us to keep the Sabbath. And if you now will follow through on that setup that we want to introduce, which makes it possible for this company to function in a proper fashion, you fulfilled your purpose in this world. This fellow had tears in his eyes. And he had tears in his eyes. And it is true. It is true. Sometimes truth is the best element, the best way how to get something through. Simple as that. So now, also in IT companies, you know, you could do it.
But
the law of our land. Believe me, it's not Safa'ulam. It's not the end of the world.
What I would say is that you have two different types of companies. You have companies where people are mostly working on Shabbat. Every Shabbat, you have people in the company working. And you have companies, and here we understand that it could be a problem. It's a problem. And we have companies where people are not obligated, but they are not forbidden to work on Shabbat. Anyone told them to not work on Shabbat, but they are doing, you know, as I said today, you're taking your BlackBerry and you have your smartphone.
So that
you are working. Do we have the obligation as a minority shareholder to force the CEO to tell to all the employees, it's forbidden for you to work on Shabbat, to work on Yom Tov? Or can we say, okay, because they are not obligated, that's enough? That's the question.
Well, the answer is that certainly, look, if you tell somebody, I don't want you to do it, but you know he's going to do it anyways, is, as far as I'm concerned, the same like telling a person you're not obligated. Because what really counts is the facts on the ground. And if the facts on the ground are that the person is going to do it, it's one and the same. So therefore, I do believe the element that you have is a completely different element that you have here. If you're in the majority, you could tell them what to do. If you're in the minority, then you presume that you cannot do it. But there is another element. You know what it's called? Forgive me telling you, Chilul Hashem. Chilul Hashem. Because if a person who is believing in Shabbat tells the people that, okay, you know, just we don't want to be obligated. We are looking away. I do believe it's a Chilul Hashem. Chilul Hashem. Now, it's Chaim Koni, very stringent. I'm stringent. But, you know, I want to tell you again, it's not that you're not able to find solutions for that. It's not that you cannot establish norms. A person does not even know how much power he has in case that he really wants to carry it through. He does. It's a fact of life, you know. But and I do believe that a person who is a minority shareholder and he looks away and he doesn't care.
What it means for us Jewish observant as investors means that we can almost never invest in
you
a
could.
Company as a minority shareholder.
You could.
When the Jewish is the CEO is not observant.
You know, I want to tell you something. There was a great rabbi in America who wrote a sefer called the God Poshe. Heard about him? Rabbi Moshe Feinstein of blessed memory. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein says, Marit Ayin in Shabbat, he says it's a Doraita. Why? Because it's Kavod Shabbat. Kavod Shabbat is a Doraita. And this person here says, in situations of this sort, there's something else to it. It's Chilul Hashem. What can I tell you? Should I tell you something which I don't believe in?
No, you're right.
There is a limit, okay? Because Jeremy is speaking about an IT company.
And don't hear well, please.
Jeremy is speaking about an IT company. And
United?
IT.
And the employees of the company. Let's take another example. Let's say you're a minority shareholder in a telecom company. Okay? This telecom company, no matter what it was, the constellation of the employees inside, would have customers that would speak on Shabbat. Where is the limit?
Perfect question. Here I'm saying the solution is a completely different solution. What he's talking about, what you're talking about, are two different situations. Let me explain to you what I mean by that. He's talking about investing as a minority shareholder in a company where you cannot really people tell what to do, what not to do. That's one thing. Then we're talking about how are we able to run a company that by definition, like he said, right, by definition must give service to its customers on Shabbat. The answer is, it's possible to do that. What are the solutions? I cannot give the solutions here. You don't have time for that. But there are solutions, no questions about it. I hinted to this earlier.
You have been in here. You
here too.
Something.
Yes.
You will see something.
Absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely. But there are two different issues. Your issue is solvable. You can solve it. You know, It's not, not major. Here, it's a different story. Yes, please.
Rob, I would have thought that the company has an obligation, a fiduciary obligation to its shareholders to employ the best people for the job.
Right.
And if the best people are chilunim, and you know, you're not going to punitively punish them for working on Shabbat, you're not going to replace them. I'm not sure what the action item. How do you correct the situation? I'm not asking.
Your question is a very good question, an excellent question. It's in America. Usually, when a person says it's an excellent question, it means I can't really help you. But I don't mean that. But I mean to say as follows. Look, it is true that in corporate law, you have an obligation to the shareholders to do whatever is in the best interest of the shareholders. But as a Shomer Shabbat, you have an obligation to do what's in the best interest of the Torah, which is attending. I mean, I cannot help it. But maybe you could bring people, and I saw it in life. You know, I'm interacting with Chilonim as well. All of life, and I don't want to enter a different area, all of life is established usually in the way how people interact. The way how people interact is based on mutual respect. If there's mutual respect, you go a long, long, long way. That's what it is. And I don't want really to enter this area, so to say, but that's what it's all about, you know? It's mutual respect. If you have an employee who is not a Shomer Shabbat, but he respects you, out of respect, he will not do it. He might not believe in that. He might, but you respect him. That's what it has to do with it. That's all I could tell you. But it's an halachic permission to let another Jew to work on Shabbat. I don't see that. You forgive me. I don't see that. Do you have an obligation to act in the best interest of the shareholders? That's true. But you also have an obligation to work in the best interest of Torah. That's all I could tell you. But are the solutions? Yes, there are always solutions. Are the solutions always perfect in the way where you could serve all your masters? You cannot serve all masters always. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Are you forgiving me? Not really. You're trying. You're trying very hard. Yeah, as I told you earlier with my wife, the same story. I'm asking you always, forgive me. It doesn't work like this. Yeah.
Rob, what about to the extent you invest in a fund, like a stock, a hedge fund, which might, the manager might be Jewish, or he might have Jewish traders. To what extent do you have to verify what he's doing? To what extent can you just say he does what he does?
Okay, so a hedge fund is, a subject in its own right. There are solutions for hedge funds. Hedge funds, in fact, are much easier to deal with than in companies that he's talking about. We are talking about hedge funds, we're talking about people who take responsibility for your money to a particular extent and so on and so forth. So therefore, it could be considered to be that you, at the moment that you gave the money to them, as far as Halachot of Shabbat is concerned, that you are not really responsible for that. Whatever he's doing on his own accord, in this other way. But that's not so simple. This is really a sugya in its own right. So, but it's not comparable. The real challenge that they face is that Baruch Hashem, Chodul Hashem Kitov, that we have here today in Eretz Israel, we have a situation where business is blooming,
yeah.
IT is blooming, everything is blooming, but this brings with itself also life challenges.
There's a new industry now growing in Israel, which is the hedge fund industry. And what happens is they trade in the United States, but you know they're Israeli, and they have to be open on Friday night to trade with the United States or with Europe.
Whenever you're talking about hedge funds, and anything, any company, again, let me just come back to the original situation. Whenever we're talking about the structure of a company, there are solutions. Mm-hmm. The issue is not that once we have non-Jews also involved, and you have a structure where you could structure a company, it's much, much easier. Much, much easier. The issue will be that you have, as you said correctly, you have Chilonim, who either insist to work on Shabbat, right, or where the people who own the company, right, insist to work on Shabbat. Then you really have an issue. Then I don't really know what to tell. I cannot turn around the halacha. What can I do? And I don't want it either. Right. Okay. Yes. Could we turn the page? Are you still talking to me? Mm-hmm. Are you still talking to me?
Yeah, good.
Oh, thank you. That's so kind of you. Okay. Yes. Chalamoid. I don't want to speak about Chalamoid. Chalamoid is the easiest of all. Chalamoid is the easiest of all. I'm not Chas Shalom.
You had it on the slide before.
Because he put it. he also has Yom Tov Sheni there. What about Yom Tov Sheni?
Pesach.
you know, lo nora. If we are there, we're ready. We got our way.
Pesach.
Pesach is very good. Pesach is always before Shavuos and after
Purim. Is there a chayv of mechilas chometz on the corporation? I know it's a machlokes. I saw a tshuva that maybe there's no chayv.
We're not discussing chametz.
We are on Shabbat.
We are on Shabbat. Yeah.
That's a big question.
One second. I want to tell you, what you're touching here on is a completely different issue, which we don't have to discuss here, but I just want to tell you how far ignorance goes. That what is being done in companies that we are constantly involved with, and I've mentioned earlier, if it's now in the real estate industry, if it's the nursing home industry, where over there it's rampant. It's run on Shabbos, v'chule v'chule. And they think, well, big deal, it's like a mechiras chometz, you know. It's a nishke mechiras chometz. Okay. It was a raw nerve. By me, it's a raw nerve.
Okay.
Yeah.
Previous slide? Last slide. I just wanted to, for us as minority investors, our obligation when we come to make an investment in the company, pathless, what do we have to put into the contract?
You have to put clearly that, as far as you are concerned, Jewish employees should not work on Shabbat. At least, you hear, listen to me very well. That's the minimum. Should not work on Shabbat. Should you hear the term? The lawyers here, the antennas go up. Should not work on Shabbat. You could use different terminology. You could say, obligated not to work on Shabbat.
Should not be required to work on Shabbat.
What?
Should not be required to work on Shabbat.
Yes, at least. At least.
Should not.
No. Should not. No. Oh. You change it. No. Don't change my words. Should not work on Shabbat.
Should not work on Shabbat. What happens in Yom Tov?
You don't have to say.
Investment in the company, right?
Yeah.
And there was a crisis.
I don't hear you.
We made an investment in a company.
Speak up. I don't hear you. Then.
We made an investment into a company, okay? And there was a crisis. And the company sent Jews on Shabbat and Yom Tov to take care of the situation in a foreign country. And we know that our Jewish employees worked on Shabbat and Yom Tov. What do we do then?
I mean, after fact.
After we already kind of got to that.
Okay, so then the truth of the matter is, most of those situations, what you're talking about is Nehenem Mimlechet Shabbat. And the truth of the matter is, I said earlier, you could find a heter for that. Right. But what I'm saying is, as you say in Hebrew, Chacham enough v'rosho. In other words, you know, you look forward, not backward, you know.
Right, you
put your eyes in the front, not in the back, so to understand. You know, I cannot. Are we ready? I'm over time already? I'm over time?
Yeah, that's okay.
You know, if I may say, sir, right, what's your name?
Ranan.
Okay. Ranan, you know, please come. If you don't, you know. I have a saying, it says, Ede Chacham Aroet HaNolad?
Yep.
Okay. What do you mean? If you don't have to be Chacham to see the Nolad. So what's you're not talking about something that was already born. According to most interpretations, Nolad means something that was already born. The answer is because not everybody is able to identify the thing is already here. If you go to a lawyer, to a good lawyer, so then he sees already the blueprint. He understands what could happen, you know. So Ede Chacham Aroet HaNolad. But bidyevit, if it happens, okay. Yeah, please.
In the high-tech industry in Israel, I don't think, even if we do manage to get a binding commitment of the company that they will not require their Jewish employees to work on Shabbat, my feeling is that will probably be the last investment that company will receive, because no other investor will invest in such a company. That's...
The answer is that it should always be that investments should not be done in a company which is solely owned by Jews. There should always be a partnership with non-Jews, because then you have a way how to handle it. Or at least, one second, or at least that people who are key people, right, key men, you know the key men concept, right, that you have key people, key men people who are Gentiles, who are not Jewish, and then you are able to establish the structure in such a fashion.
That's a little tough in Israel. Maybe
I don't hear
maybe
you.
Maybe easier in America to have a key man who's not Jewish, but in Israel it's a little tougher.
Oh, we have non-Jewish people here.
No, I know, but it's tougher. Just by nature, there's a higher percentage of Jewish people in Israel than there are in America.
We cannot, look, as a lawyer, one second, as a lawyer, right, you are not really in a monitoring position. In other words, you get the facts and you have to deal with them. I understand that.
That's correct.
Okay, so therefore I appreciate your situation. But what I'm saying...
There is a... What overcomes that is if you are in a Misrat Imud, if you are an executive, then it doesn't apply. That doesn't mean that necessarily therefore you're required to. It just says that you may be required to work overtime, and therefore the other limitations don't apply. Nowhere does it say that you, in fact, if there are businesses that actually work where they do require people to work on Shabbat, and there's a process to get an exemption to that where people can be made to work on Shabbat. Some of those are obviously because of the not. Those are very, very few.
Sir, may I therefore suggest, it would be an excellent idea if there would be a handbook of what standard law in Israel would demand from people as far as Chokam Lucha and so on and so forth, and you apply it. Here you have it.
Well,
yes.
No, but that's not enough for IT. IT world is not enough. Because you can, I say we have.
Let me show you. We have a program.
Okay, we need to switch.
To repeat, yeah.
We're getting emails where you say that, you know, when you
register,
you should tell people you should not work on Shabbat. Does the mere fact that the law says that you should not work on Shabbat is enough?
I don't know. I cannot tell you. Rabotai, may I? I can't hear.
What?
I don't hear you.
It's relevant only for seed investors.
Sir, could you start again?
Said at the beginning, it's only relevant if you're investing at the seed stage, where you're more critical to the company.
I don't hear you.
You said at the beginning that it's only relevant at the seed stage, when you invest at the seed stage.
No, but to seed, series A, series B is the same thing, no? You mean that...
it's the same, doesn't matter. I didn't say only.
No, you just say that...
I didn't say only. Maybe I was misunderstood. If I was misunderstood... I'm saying in particular in seed situations, particular, because then they're really, but then you also have the leverage. You have the leverage. You are a seed investor, you have all the leverage in life. No. Okay.
Well, I
have to move on.
Sure that, no,
I will say, one second, I will say the following. Whatever I say here is not halakha lemaase. Why do I say that? Because, as I said, like you are, many of you are lawyers, you would never give an advice to somebody to apply practically if you're not really involved in the situation to the minutia. So therefore, you cannot apply anything I'm saying here, lachale maaseh, unless you really consult. There's nothing to talk about, you know. I'm just explaining the issue as such. Yes. Could I move on?
The question was, is the mere fact that the law states that on police should not work on Shabbat, is that enough?
No, it's not enough. I don't think so. And the Machoshev Kar. Okay, let me move on.
We are moving to Ribbit.
To Ribbit, yes.
I think we have lots of questions we need to answer, but okay. I don't know how to.
Okay, Ribbit. May I come to Ribbit, please? Okay. Now, let me come back to the concept of cooperation. The concept of cooperation, as far as Ribbit is concerned, probably most of you know about it. There is a fundamental disagreement, to say so, between the current poskim concerning the status of a corporation as far as Ribbit is concerned. And when I say corporation, I don't mean only corporation, any shareholder, whatever it should be, any limited partnership. There's a ruling of two of the great poskim of the previous generation. One was Moshe Feinstein, the other was Reb Shimon Greenfeld, the Mashag. And there were others also who was holding like this, who argued in this other way that although we do not recognize in halacha that a fictitious partnership or a fictitious entity like a corporation exists halachically, but nevertheless, as far as the responsibilities of what Torah understood in terms of Ribbit, in this situation, whenever the borrower is a corporation, the lachat of Ribbit do not apply. Again, the borrower, whenever the borrower is a corporation, so then we do not have an issue with interest. Many argue that. Rabsham Zalman, many others argue that, you know, for the previous generation, but it's after all, after everything said and done, it's a machlok taposkin, and whenever we deal and with situations which are not ribid or raita, so there is room to be lenient on that. And very often the ribid we're talking about is not ribid or raita, but ribid or rabbanan. Now, here I want to tell you something, although I told you in the beginning that I don't want to discuss with you comparative law, and I don't want to discuss with you the jurisprudence of law, but I want to explain something which will make it easier for you to understand what I'm talking about. In fact, one of the articles that I wrote here years ago, I discuss it. The definition of money in halacha is very simple. Money is only a medium, nothing else. It's not a commodity. Money is in halacha not a commodity. Today, not only is money a commodity, even debts are commodities. I don't have to tell you. You're trading debts. So, consequently, you have to understand that when halacha says that you cannot use money similar to commodity, and therefore you cannot have profit as well, because money does not have any self-value, it's only a medium, you have to understand that. You follow what I'm saying? Okay. A dollar, a shekel, has no self-value. It's only a medium. It's made in order to create an exchange. Mm-hmm. It's not a commodity. It doesn't have self-value.
It's not like gold.
It doesn't have self-value. The definition is precise, as like I told you.
But at the time that the halacha was written, money was of value. Gold coin, silver.
No, it's not so. It's not so. When we are talking about matbea, it's currency. Currency, by definition, does not have self-value. It was represented by metal that has self-value. But what really was counting, what people were counting was the imprint, was the imprint of using it as a currency. That's what we're talking about. Once you understand that principle, it's much easier. Now, today, however, all of this changed. Once upon in America, you had the gold standard, right? Which is of blessed memory or not blessed memory, whatever it is, but it does not exist anymore. So consequently, today, what we have now today is that we have money turning into a commodity, and that changed this picture altogether. Now, I give this just as food for thought to have a better understanding of what we are discussing here. Now, so said, the issue that you have here, investing in funds, investing in any kind of entity that deals with money. What is the way to see that we should not violate the issue of ribit? First thing is, we have to differentiate between a loan and an investment. The difference between a loan and investment is, loan means that if I lend money to somebody, the recipient is now the owner of the money. And as such, all profits go to him because he's the owner of the money. I relinquished my ownership of the money. It became his money. It's not my money. He owes me money, but it's his money. Can't take the profits are his. And if the profits are his and I demand money from him for the fact that money is with him, that's ribit. However, if I'm an investor, the money still remains mine. The profits are mine. And being the profits are mine, I'm permitted to have the agent who is handling my money to give me at least share of the profit, or all the profits, whatever it should be, and I'll be paying for the work. That's the difference between investment and between a loan. Clear? So, whenever we invest in companies, we want to have it to be an investment. When does it turn into a loan? And this is now an important principle which people usually forget or make a mistake in. When money is guaranteed, it's a loan. That's the important principle. If I give you money as an investment, but you guarantee
personal
guarantee that money will come back, thank you, will come back, excellent, too excellent, right, together with you. So if the people who receive the money guarantee, it turns to a loan. Once the loan is ribit, whatever the return is now is ribit. There's a concept which is called heter iskah. In heter iskah, the principle always is that you turn it into an investment. So therefore, whatever the heter iskah is written, and we'll not go into details of it, if a heter iskah is accompanied with a personal responsibility, the heter iskah is invalidated. Because by definition, what you created here was, in other words, a loan. So in such a situation, what really has to be done here is, and Mr. Lawyer, you have to remember that, that the personal guarantee will be subject to the Eteriska. In other words, that it does not exceed the Eteriska, which usually is not the intention. The intention usually is that it should exceed the Eteriska, but that's exactly what it's all about. But we're looking at me.
What? No, I know the subject well, but I don't know if everyone knows the subject.
Oh. Did I say something wrong?
No. Oh, okay. I don't know if
Thank you
call precision about the Eteriska, but I don't know.
I don't want to explain Eteriska because
yeah.
It will be
it's time
limited.
But,
right? Okay.
So if you have an Israeli fund, for example, and what's traditional.
That's investing on Shabbos.
No. let's say you have an Israeli or a Jewish fund. Primarily Jewish investors, let's even assume all Jewish. So what they'll do is, if you have a closing on January 1st, for investors who come in June or December, so there's an interest rate which is charged to them, which accumulates to the fund. So, you know, so that's like a knas for not coming in, but it's connected the investment, the assumption that the investors are making more money. So is that rebate or not?
Okay, so you see, this will lead us to a discussion that we had with Jeremy earlier, not here, two weeks ago. Okay, preferred, convertibles,
yeah.
Preferred,
same
all
idea.
Of this stuff, all
yeah.
Of this stuff. Are you familiar with those terms, or should I give you
crash
course?
Well, everyone is familiar.
What do I know? You know, I'm a bank fetcher, what do I know? Okay. Okay. So when we're talking about convertibles, we're talking about preferred and so on and so forth. Again, the principle I just mentioned earlier, namely, whenever we guarantee, any guarantee equals loan.
Personal guarantee.
When I say guarantee, I mean personal guarantee.
Of the CEO of the company.
Doesn't matter who. Of the borrower.
From the borrower, whoever the borrower is.
The company.
The company.
No, I understand this question.
Company can go under.
Who is the person?
That's fine.
Let me come back again. Okay. When we talk about ownership, so we are saying that ownership in halacha are always people. There's no virtual ownership. Can't again, if you have a company, we're talking about people. People might have limited responsibilities. Limited responsibilities which are framed in within the concept which is called corporation. The halakhic opinions will say that then if the borrower is a corporation, the issue of ribis do not apply. Many differ with that. Therefore, we have another concept called Heteriska. Heteriska would take care even in a situation when we would say corporation does not take care of the issue. Right. And again, we're talking always when the issue is with the borrower. Now, in Heteriska we said, however, there's another provision over there. This is once there's a guarantee, the personal guarantee, the Heteriska is invalidated by definition, because what you did here is you turned the investment into a loan. Guarantee equals loan. Clear?
Is it guaranteed by the corporation? Whose personal is confusing?
Corporation, as far as we are concerned, is only another term for partnership, and that's what it is. We have partners here. And limited means that you are saying you could only collect from certain assets. Now, when you say personal guarantee, question what the personal guarantee means all about. Usually personal guarantee means it exceeds the assets of the company. If it does not exceed the company, then it's much easier. And you could phrase the personal guarantee in a fashion that it should not contradict the Eteriska. You could do that, but you have to be aware of that. You have to know how to do that. In other words, the lawyer who deals with it has to know how to phrase it. Yes?
In today's day and age where we have personal bankruptcy, so would that potentially, you know, invalidate this concept of a personal guarantee? Because at the end of the day, the person still...
No, nothing to do with it. This goes back to what we discussed in the very beginning, Dina Machuta Dina, and it has nothing to do with what we're talking about. He's what Moshe Feinstein and the Mashiach are talking about is when at the outset when the loan, when the investment was given, so then the investment was guaranteed only by the assets of the company, nothing else. And big, it was only guaranteed by the assets of the company. According to this opinion, RIBI does not apply. But personal bankruptcy is a particular law that permits the person to default on all of his obligations. So, but it's not at the outset. You understand what I mean? Again, it's not at the outset. Yeah.
Correct. However, in all practicality, let's say I'm the principal owner of a company. I take a $5 million loan from investors. Okay. I personally guarantee it. My house is worth $1 million. Okay. They come to collect, and they try to pass through all the way to me, and I say,
doesn't help you. I tell you again, because what we are talking about is the assuming of responsibilities. How much could it be eventually covered doesn't matter. At the outset, you assume personal responsibility. Now, if for all practical purposes your assets are limited, because for practical purposes they are limited, and nothing to do with the legal obligation, would be more than. Clear?
Also, from a Jewish law, you are still obligated, even though you...
Not so simple.
No?
No. I don't want to discuss it. It's a different story. Okay. So now, coming back to preferred. Preferred is a major issue. It's true that Cohn here, Chaim Cohn, has certain provisions where maybe preferred could be dealt with. But I'm writing myself, you know, that I like novelties. People who are entrepreneurs like to invest in things which are upcoming. In Halacha, I'm more conservative. You know, even if it's something which is a very nice idea to give a shiur about and so on and so forth, to apply it, Halacha le'maaseh, I'm quite doubtful. So therefore, when even I hear have certain pilpulim, I'm not so sure about it. But what I'm saying is as follows. Whenever you have preferred, in other words, we're in a situation, the classic situation, a person invests money, being that he invests a major part of the money, he's the first one to collect not only principal, but also profit, which will be paid out for the principles of other people. I mean, if things go sour, they're not done well. Here you have a major issue of rebate, because in fact, the other person guaranteed, meaning the other investor guaranteed from his principal for paying out to somebody else. So therefore, preferred an issue, you know? Preferred an issue. Therefore, you will have to earn. And then, I want to explain something. Heter iska. There's not one heter iska. There are many heter iskas. You have to know how to do with heter iska. For the idea, you really need people, are professionals in the field, how to write heter iska, because almost in every kind of business, there is a different kind of heter iska which has to be used.
When we are investing with preferred shares,
preferred.
We already talked about that.
Preferred.
Okay, preferred. We can lose everything.
Yes.
Okay? So we are investing, and there is no personal guarantee. So I will never be able to take the home of this founder from anyone. So I'm investing, I will get preferred shares, preferred profits. But in the end, anyone will guarantee me anything. So why is the problem?
Somebody asked the discussion.
Yeah, we have the discussion, but
what did the fellow answer you?
Yeah.
This was the question. No,
I'm still not sure about that.
You're not clear.
I can tell you. Well, I wanted to invest in a company where we are getting.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Merci beaucoup.
I wanted to invest in a company where we are getting a preferred return. Guild knows the company. Preferred return. It means that at least we are getting 2 times our investment and a 20% IRR on our investment. Okay. But this is a guarantee in case the company is exiting. Okay, we are selling the company.
Exiting.
So we are selling the company. In case of bankruptcy, okay, we will just lose anything. And for Lafcon, it was also a major problem because
exactly the problem.
You will explain the problem.
Right. Yeah. There's a concept in Halacha which is called Tzadechad Beribit. Tzadechad Beribit means that. Usually, the classic situation of ribbit is, I guarantee. What happens in the situation when it's possible that my guarantee will be invoked? That's called tzadechad beribbit. That's a classic situation. In other words, yes, if everything goes sour, there's nothing there. But the whole thing collapses, there's nothing there. But in case it does not collapse, then my share, or my profit, is guaranteed by somebody else's assets. That's tzadechad beribit. Tzadechad beribit, the machlokta rishonim, if it's right, not right, you have an issue here. Yes.
The fact that the previous investor agreed to that is there any hit to the fact that, you know, you're obviously taking an assumption now that you're a later investor, right, and your return is guaranteed because on his back. But he knew that was a likelihood.
May I ask you a question?
Yeah.
I need a bridge loan. Let's say, I don't need, but let's say a person needs a bridge loan, is willing to pay a very high rate for this bridge loan. And he needs it very much because eventually he's going to make a lot of money which exceeds the interest rate. So he's willing to pay a rebit. Is it permissible? 1 second. Is it permissible, yes or no? It's a yes or no question.
Yes.
No.
The answer is no.
It's not personal. This is for the company.
Again, I need a bridge loan.
You personally need a bridge
loan?
Cone. Yes, whatever it should be. You know, but you, Moshe, is by you already, you know, a bad part of life. It's not so simple. Now, I need a bridge loan. I personally, Cole needs a bridge loan. I'm willing to pay 24%, 48% PA just for 3 months because I'm going to make millions of dollars. I want it. Please give me the money. No. Permit it up. Usually the loyve wants to do it. You know, there's a Gemara in Eidon Esher. The end of Eidon Esher, the end of the Perek. But the Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu would have known what good it does to the loyve, to the borrower that is being given money here. On rebit. Most people initiate the issues of rebit. It's not the malve, it's not the lender, it's the borrower. The borrower wants it. He wants the commodity called money. So it has nothing to do if the investor is interested or not. You understand what I'm saying? Okay.
What if the lender, for example, is a fund with majority non-Jews, minority Jews?
Okay. Which leads me to the next issue. How much time do we have?
We are on to fall for 30. Yeah, with a question for 30.
I will, okay.
Fall, it's not personally guaranteed.
What do you say?
The class before didn't personally guarantee it. I thought personal guarantee is the criteria of being a loan.
That's right.
But here, they didn't personally guarantee it. Their assets in this company is guaranteed, but not their personal assets.
Well, again, let me come back to the original, because there's something which you need to readjust the understanding of it. Company is not a concept. In a logic, company doesn't exist. People. We're talking about partners. There's no such concept of company. There might be that we limit responsibilities to certain assets. Now, is this relevant or irrelevant? This is a machloket haposkim. This goes back to Reb Moshe. So if you want to use Reb Moshe, bevakasha, and lo mer shelo. And if you turn it to Rebbi de Rabbanan, there's certainly more room to be made on that. In America, they apply Reb Moshe straight through. I'm not saying, Hashem, who am I to say otherwise, right? I'm not saying that, but just explain to you the concept that we're talking about, you know? And there are people who are saying, I would prefer Reb Moshe on Heta Yiska, bevakasha. No, ask your Rav, whatever you want. But I'm explaining to you. But the truth of the matter is, skilled lawyers who understand the halacha well and know how to write the contract very often are able to draft it in a fashionable way where you avoid issues of rebate. Sometimes you can't. Let me come to the last part here. Too difficult? Clear? Yeah.
Just to be sure that everyone understands, what you are saying is that also if the guarantee is for limited assets, this is where we have the machloket.
That's right, exactly.
Okay.
So.
So see where we are meeting.
Exactly so. In tzad echad b'ribit, but that's very often what you have. In many investment situations, you have tzad echad b'ribit. That's what you have.
But
yes.
In all preferred shares, we are all investing in preferred shares. So
I didn't. For the, but, oh, I didn't.
One other question,
yes.
What happens to invest a convertible loan in you convert into equity either at a cap or a discount? In other words, when you convert into equity, you get in some sort of discount to the retail price that other people are buying. Is that considered rebate? You're getting something for nothing?
Yes, the same concept. Now, it's not yes and no. It depends on the situation. The fact that whenever you give money which is guaranteed in this other fashion, and you get a discount on that, by definition, it's rebate. Whenever you benefit from money, whenever you benefit from something you're giving, if it's not an investment, if it's not a pure investment, investment means that it remains your money, you have an issue of rebate. Is that clear or not clear?
Not clear.
The regular convertible, right, means that at the outset it's a loan. Right?
Means it
what?
A regular convertible. A regular convertible, right?
No.
It depends. Is it in debt or not?
I don't think anyone in our business looks at it as anything other than an equity.
No, but technically until it converts, it is.
In the end of the day, it still has an equity risk. There's no difference between whether it's converted.
Legally speaking, may I ask a question? Please advise me. I'm a customer. I want to buy a convertible, right? So now, do you have any guarantee on my money?
On the assets of the company.
One second. Let's go step by step. Again, if you are going to say that we anything anywhere where it's limited to the assets only, then we don't have an issue of rebate. Then we don't have a discussion. Okay. So we're leaving this realm for a moment.
That's the reality that we live in.
No. Halakhically speaking, that concept that if you are limited assets, by definition, it's not guaranteed, but by the assets themselves, that you don't have an issue of rebate, is a machloket. Right? If you go in here in Eretz Yisrael, if you go to any given rabbi, go to Bnei Brak, you get to Yerushalayim, maybe in Ranana, or in Ma'ale Adumim, I don't know, wherever you go, right? I don't know what they say in Ma'ale Adumim. I don't know what they say, but probably it's the same story again, right? Being that, here at least, most would not want to rely on Ramosha, so therefore that's where we have the issue. But if you talk Ramosha, I'm all with you. I have no problem with that. Okay. Yeah? And by I'm there. I'm saying if we are not entertaining Ramosha, if you're not entertaining that attitude, that then let's discuss in its own right. So therefore I'm saying, once you guarantee, we have an issue.
I'm
guaranteeing because I'm guaranteeing that I'm going to get more for what I invest than what I invested
but
for.
But in the mahut of what we're doing, right, at the onset of us making our investment, okay, right, when we make this investment, we basically establish a price or a floating price based on certain conditions, right, and that's why we use these fancy structures. But essentially, we're establishing a price or some type of return, expected return, based on a certain thing. And that's the mahut of what we do. Because if you look at what happens in a bankruptcy of a company, there's a certain pecking order of how money gets distributed, right? Employees, suppliers,
Doesn't matter. How you're going to calculate is immaterial. But if I have now the chance to get more for my money than what I invested in, if it didn't remain an investment, but it's...
What I'm saying is that when I make these terms, right, I'm establishing a floating rate based on certain outcomes. It's meaning it's something that's agreed to on a
basis. That's exactly the case of Tadichat Biribit. Now,
this
I want to.
May
I? One second, because I don't have too much time. I will give you later on time for discussing it. But, just let me move on because I need to discuss something else here. If you turn. Is the next one. We have an American issue, and I guess being that we're talking, I will discuss with you later. We will be talking about global village and global economy, so I believe that issues are very similar in many ways. One of the ways today that you want to borrow money is using a lending club. Lending club has issues. And the issues of a lending club are as follows. It's very interesting. Here you see how Yorei Deah interacts with Chosh Mishpat or others. The truth of the matter is that Ribit is also in Yorei Deah, but it's a question. Really, the Poskim discuss it. Why is it there? Now, you see what we have it as follows. If a person would like to borrow money from a lending club, and he doesn't know who is the lender. Not peer-to-peer. Are the terms known to everybody? Yes? Yes or no?
Yeah.
If it's not peer-to-peer, so then I could assume, well, probably the lending club has all kinds of people who invest money into this situation, so therefore it should be permissible because, as far as I'm concerned, I want my money only to come from the non-Jewish people, not from the Jewish people, so therefore, although I'm borrowing money straightforward to the interest, it should be permissible. It's not so simple. Now, Why is it so simple? Because there are concept which is called kol kavua ki mechzel mechzedam, which means that whenever the doubt that we have is this limited to a particular place, so to say, then Torah looks at it like a straightforward doubt, a straightforward safek. And if it's doraita, if you're talking about ribi doraita, meaning a person that's borrowing money with straightforward interest, should be awesome, should be prohibited. Is it really considered kavua or is it not? Now this is a whole to do, much broader than the scope that we're discussing.
Why can't we sit like the Shikul Flaish, you know, where they have 10, you know, 10 Chavonim?
That's the question. This is the sugya. This is the sugya. That's exactly the sugya. That the sugya, if it's called the Purush, we're Purush, it's called Kavonim. Right, so there's a Chavas Das about it, there's a crazy place about it. There's a whole to do about it. But I want to tell you, this is the issue. Now, however, let's say for argument's sake, taking the platform of a regular lending club, this would not so be so terrible, because let's say we have a term for that, but when you're talking about peer-to-peer, it's more difficult, because peer-to-peer, then you could find out who is the fellow, who is it, who is really the lender, and who is the borrower. That's much more difficult. But then you have something else, a third scenario, which is even more difficult than we have in America all the time. Most loans go through the web. And you have web banks who are the intermediary between the lender and the borrower. Who is Web Bank? In America, for example, there is a bank which is called Web Bank. Web Bank is owned by a Jew. A Jewish person, not religious. And he, according to the terms, turned into the lender. In other words, the investor, so to say, is investing into, not investing, he's lending money to Web Bank, and Web Bank now turns to be the lender of whoever takes the loan from them. Once that happens, so we have straightforward tribute. And what happens now, if that bank is not interested to make it a Yisrael? We have currently a major issue in America. Maybe about Quicken. Anybody heard about Quicken?
Software?
In America, Quicken.
Yeah.
Quicken is probably the biggest issue of loans. It's owned solely by a Jewish person who is resisting to do an Heta Yisrael. If a Heta Yisrael would really apply over there or not, in itself would be debatable, right? But let's say for argument's sake, at least we did something. He resists by all means to do that. The truth of the matter is, here again, we have an issue of leverage. If he would know that... One second. Issue of leverage. If he would have known that quite a segment of the population would not want to take loans from him or through him, maybe he would have changed his mind, you know? But people really don't care so much. Yes.
Why can't he rely on the company header of Rav Moshe?
Again, the header is only, let me repeat that, the header of Rav Moshe is if the borrower is a company. Here we're talking about the lender being a company. The lender being a company is no header for that. There's always confusion there. You know? So here you have
How about Bitcoin?
What is Bitcoin? I don't know what it is. Yeah. I know money. I only know money.
Huh?
I only know about money.
Bitcoin is something you can buy things with.
I understand that. I know that. But Bitcoin is not a regular, it's not a loan situation.
You can give a loan in Bitcoin.
So yeah, okay. Whoever it is. I don't know who Bitcoin is. Who is Bitcoin? I don't know who it is. Okay. What do you say? If it is. I don't know if it is. It's a good question. You know, if I would have a clear look, I avoided the question, as you see clearly.
Yeah.
And because I avoided it because I'm in doubt myself exactly how to define it. Okay. Let me come to the last item, if I may. Blue wine, Wonga, all of those. Now, really, this I must tell you, if Wonga or blue wine is owned by Jews, it's not different than the previous landing club. No different at all. What the distinction is only one thing, and this is that we're talking about a Wonga blue wine kind of in situation, so then the rate is exorbitant. That's what it is. I don't care about the rate. If the rate is justified according to the conditions and your veterinary sky couldn't last us more, it's £24. What I would say only then in the situation, we discussed it, the veterinary sky which we would use in this particular case would be Kulo Picadon and not Hatimil. Right? That's what I would say in such a case. But this is not the real problem. The real problem is platform itself. The platform of
so the platform needs to check for each lender, if he's a Jewish guy or not?
Now, I will go back to the, which I didn't mention to you, we'll go back to the origin of banks. Now, I'm not going back to Fugge. Don't worry. Heard about Fugge? No? No. Fugge was a, okay, I'm not discussing it with you 400 years ago. But before banking started, not going about it, but there was a specific discussion between the poskim, between the halachic authorities about 150 years ago, 200 years ago, when banking industry started to be like we have it today. The term was, you are probably from Antwerp, are you? Yeah, okay.
From Vienna.
What?
From Vienna.
That's right. Okay, how do you know that?
I can hear.
Thank you. In German you call it Sparkassen. Sparkassen means it's really people would save money, but it is savings bank, that's what you call it in America, savings bank. And the poskim at that time, like 200 years ago, discussed this whole concept. Permissible, not permissible. It's very interesting. They came up with all kinds of heterium. Now, all the heterium that you apply over there, you can apply to land plots too. Are they very sound?
I'm not sure I understand what are the heterium, but what's the parameter?
Because when in a lending club, if the lending club has joint investments of Jews and non-Jews,
yes.
So then there are principles which not everybody would agree to, based on Brera, Shutafut in this or other fashion. The Masham didn't like it, you know. And but that's all I can tell you, you know. So, okay. Did I put you asleep or are you still awake?
How is it different than investing
yes.
in a bank?
What is it?
Why is it different than investing in a bank?
From once upon a time?
No. Lending club and just having shares.
You're talking about Chase? You're talking about the larger banks?
Having shares of a bank.
The answer is as follows. This is what I mentioned at the very, very beginning. Namely, if you're talking about buying shares in a major bank, like anything which is traded on the market, so like we explained earlier, it's certainly correct and right to argue that buying shares, regardless if the shares as such are considered to be a partnership or not partnership, so the paper goes, but if for all practical purposes, the share had a life on its own, because the value is not measured by the assets of the company. It's measured how the market is dealing with it. So therefore, as far as halachi would look at it, is not as a regular partnership, but like an investment given to anybody who it should be, and being traded as such, right? And therefore, the concept would be a completely different concept. Yes. Okay. Thank you very much. That's far more important. Yes. Thank you. If you want to discuss, we could discuss.
Can we request questions?
Certainly. Yeah.
So we begin.
A card or something.
Yeah, but
business card.
I have a business card. I don't. Do I have a business card? I don't.
Okay.
Hey, you can give me information.
No, you have on businessalaha.com. You have.
Very good.
We have a. I just want to mention clearly, this is not promotion for Business Halach Institute.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Going back to Mr. P. We're venture capitalists, right?
Speak up so people should hear what you say.
We're venture cap. In a case where you're a venture capitalist,
right?
Is there a way to put into the limited partnership agreement with your non-Jewish LPs some type of a way to kind of transfer any benefit on Shabbat or Yom Tov that we invest in these Jewish companies to them to make, you know, is there some type of an elegant solution that we could kind of already bake into our investment documents with our limited partners, with our investors and our fund, because most of
you're talking about issue of Shabbat or Ribbit. What are you talking about?
Shabbat.
Mr. P would be perfect. If Mr. P would be a profit sharing partner, even if he's not in the assets themselves, you go a long way.
That's why we call him Mr. P.
Mr. P. Very good. Thank you.
Because by definition, when we buy shares in the company, we become a minority shareholder.
Right.
The partnership that we represent, the venture capital,
right,
for a private equity fund, basically owns it as a partnership. And it's, and Mr. P, there are a lot of Mr. P's in there.
Yeah, but
so
the older Mr. P's are real partners with you, and that's what I told you at the outset. As far as Shabbat is concerned, that's always the misunderstanding. Two partners are alter egos to each other. Were you in the beginning?
No.
Oh, That's a problem. So, in the very beginning, we discussed that partners are alter egos. You know what alter ego is, right? You know, are alter egos to each other, which means that, in fact, being a partner with a non-Jewish person should not help you at all. And it's only helping in case that at the outset of the business, partnership, you are separating, which only will help you, which only will help you as far you and your alter ego is concerned. However, it will not help you as far as the company is concerned, the old employees and so on and so forth and so on and so forth are still your employees.
That's fine. But what I'm saying is there something that we could put into our agreements with our investors,
yes,
Mr. Pease, from day one, that kind of misamen any money that is benefited from any of our investments by Shabbat to then directly
lechatchila. Yes, could do that.
And,
yes.
And if we do that,
that's
essentially...
Yes.
We'll make by making any investment in our companies, we're coming essentially with that Mr. P helping all the others.
But no, it's not so simple, because the issue here is that you are active on Shabbat.
Assuming
you're talking about the profit. I'm not talking about the profit. We're talking about the activity on Shabbat.
That's fine. That's two different things.
That's right.
In terms of telling them they should not be doing stuff on Shabbat, that we've already discussed. But I'm just now talking about the Mr. P solution. If we do something in our LPA, our limited partner agreement,
right,
the Chachila, we could potentially machshir all of our companies by doing that correctly.
In a way, yes. But what does to study the case by case? I'm very, very careful not to give you a blanket hater and say you could do it this way. I would have to study it.
We'll give you some homework.
Okay,
we'll give you some homework.
That's very kind of you.
So, what he says is that Mr. P is in the
same spot. That's exactly what we do in a real estate situation, right? And I'm not saying you cannot apply it. I don't say that. Yes, anything else?
Let's say, I think people, we go from here with more questions than answers.
Yes,
we
that's
agree.
Exactly what the purpose was.
Yeah, that's the purpose.
The answer is that every question we need to ask the Rav.
Yeah, so.
One second. Again, I want to emphasize, there are many good people out there who probably are much better than Chaim Cohen. So, I'm only saying, there are issues which have to be discussed and should be discussed with people who really know their stuff here, you know. There are Tamidei Chachamim and there are Tamidei Chachamim. There are those who are not like in any specialty, you know, like in any specialty. If somebody has a particular sickness, you want to go to a person who has experience in the sickness. And there are Chachamim out there who know very well. Yeah.
So, to make a summary, let's say we'll take Shabbat and read it. Can you list situations where we don't have any problem and the situation where we will have problems? So to do that on Shabbat and on Ribbit.
On Shabbat you have no problems if you have a company, your own company, and you are not doing anything on Shabbat. I'll give you a hechsher. Once that is not the case, you have an issue.
Okay.
Ribbit, that's the same story. If you're lending money to a goy, Mitzat Hashem. But I'm sorry, according to some post this. But if you're lending money to Jewish people, lending what lending means, then you have an issue. Everything else is an issue. Then, my dear Jeremy, you cannot bring everything on in two lines. There's no two liner here. There's nothing in my one liner. Yes, please.
Question with Ribbit and all these issues. Until there's actually liquidity, you sell a company, you just have shares, which is paper value, right? So at what stage does this all become an issue? When you actually get your cash payment at the end of the day after 5 or 7 or 10 years, or is it the issue on signing it,
any agreement that has potential issues, the agreement itself is an issue, and therefore lawyers have an issue that as well, because they are involved in writing the documents, you know.
Yeah,
it's not my fault.
Perhaps you can say that Messiah is more problematic for Ribbit also.
Yes.
You didn't talk about that.
No,
I mean, it's important because you have a lot of people here.
I made me nervous enough, believe me. Todarava, yes.
I want to understand better when investments become tzadechad beribit. What is the difference?
Whenever there's a guarantee or possibility of guarantee, potential guarantee, it's tzadechad beribit.
Personal guarantee.
No. Not personal.
No.
On certain assets.
On certain assets. If your assets...
No, a guarantee of profits.
No, even print both. If his assets guarantee to me that I'm getting back money, so it's an issue of issue. Now, there might be a situation, which might be, one second, which might be much easier, which is that if only my principal is guaranteed by somebody else's principal, that might be easier. In the case that he was discussing is that you get double of your profit, you know, from the principal of somebody else. That's really sure. But if his principal is guaranteeing my principal, that's easy. That's much easier. Yes. Clear? Kaha. I will tell you something. There's something we are saying people all the time. And again, nothing to do with me personally. Like, nobody would ever sign any kind of document or make any kind of a deal without consulting a person who's a professional in his field. Please, please, please. You understand, in the company situation you have today, you should never do any kind of business without consulting people who know halachot of Shabbat, halachot of Ribit, and other halachot as well. And I will tell you something else, if I may. A contract, which wasn't written halachically correctly, if you end up in Beis Din, eventually it could be in a very, very tough situation. You know, and people don't have to tell you, pick and choose. If they like it, if they think they will have much more chances in court, they go to court. In Beis Din, all the big then become all of a sudden very religious and they go to Beis Din. But, you know, v'chule. So therefore, it's always preferable, advisable to have somebody who knows those halachas in order to see that whatever you did.
I will be mezid and not shogeg because of this.
I don't mezid. Colter, thank you very much.